So you could hear President Bush at his news conference yesterday saying goodbye.
I have often said that history will look back and determine that which could have been done better or, mistakes I made. Clearly, putting a mission accomplished on an aircraft carrier was a mistake. It sent the wrong message. We were trying to say something differently, but nevertheless, it conveyed a different message. Obviously, some of my rhetoric has been a mistake.
We're giving you a chance to contribute to some of that rhetoric. Bush had 8 years to put together a legacy, but in eight words or less, you can come up with one. Tell us your phrase at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. But at these sorts of moments, at the end of a presidency, especially when an entire era is changing, there's a real serious changing of the guard. The end of a presidency can become a moment of real serious candor, like this moment.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
President Dwight David Eisenhower, in his farewell speech in 1961, used an occasion to say goodbye to the country to issue a series of warnings that have resonated down through history. President Bush will be giving a speech on Thursday that has been touted as a goodbye to America speech after 8 years in the presidency, anticipating the inauguration of Barack Obama. What will he say? We've asked David Eisenhower, director of the Institute of Public Service at the Annenberg School of Communications at the University of Pennsylvania, to join us to talk about the sort of final moment of the Bush legacy and what that maybe bodes for the post-presidency of President George W. Bush. David Eisenhower, thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning.
How do you know, when I saw on the wires that President Bush was giving a goodbye to America speech on Thursday, I immediately thought of your father's military-industrial complex speech. Do you think there's any relationship, or am I just, off in the clouds somewhere?
Well, I think you said it as I was waiting to come on the show. There is a changing of the guard going on here. And that in 1961 brought forth a very memorable farewell address. The announcement that I heard yesterday took me by surprise because President Bush had indicated in December, I believe, that he was not going to give a farewell address. Hmm. And that would have been more in keeping with recent practice. It's been a while since we've had a memorable farewell. Maybe as a result of the response to yesterday morning's press conference or something, he reconsidered. It's now January also, meaning we're a week or so away from the big day, and Washington certainly reflects that. There's probably construction all over the official quarter of that city, which is a reminder of the great parade that is going to happen in about a week. And all of these things probably converge to remind the president or to dramatize that this genuinely is a changing of the guard. And so this may occasion a very memorable statement on the part of the president.
He may have something to get off his chest. Looking forward to the post-presidency of George W. Bush, what do you think the precedents are for his history and legacy as he goes forward? I'm drawn to the Carter moment when he left office. I don't know if it's the same for you.
Well, I think that what presidents have proven since 1945 is that to a degree they do not cease being president. Every president that we've had in our history represents something slightly different about America, and they continue to represent that out of office. And it's very unusual for an individual actually to retire after the presidency. My grandfather, being a case in point, he officially retired, in fact took his Army rank back. Historians say, and I agree, that his most effective years as a partisan, that is, as a Republican working for his party, were really 1961 through about 67. These were his years out of office. And I would anticipate that President Bush will continue to be a powerful figure, very powerful figure in the Republican Party. He will not be, I would say, a sort of national unifying figure in the way former president can be, and in fact the way Dwight Eisenhower was in the late 60s. I do not doubt that George W. Bush is a very popular politician, particularly in Texas, Florida, and what we call the Bay States today.
Well, there's certainly one legacy that he's managed to hold on to through these 8 years, and that's his ability to fundraise. Even the past election cycle, we saw that he raised good amounts of money for the Republican Party.
Well, that's right. And another symptom, we remember in what was the second or third debate in the presidential campaign when third debate, I guess, when Senator McCain said, you know, if you wanted to run against George Bush, you should have run 4 years ago and so forth. That was a startling comment because for practically 12 months, a huge field of Republican candidates had run for the nomination. And what they declined to do was to really make an issue with the president. I was struck by how, I would say, disciplined or polite the presidents were, or the presidential candidates on the Republican side were throughout 2008. And I think that, again, that's testimony to President Bush's ongoing strength in the Republican Party, which is certainly a project he will carry over into the post-presidency. I don't doubt that.
You know, Dwight Eisenhower, the nation had much more interest in his war years and what he would write about his war years than they did ultimately in his presidential years. What do you think the question is that Americans need answered from George W. Bush if he should write a memoir?
Actually, he has a real opportunity, it seems to me, in writing a memoir because so much of the story of the past 6 or 7 years cannot or has not been told. You know, one of the things that struck me about this press conference yesterday is that he kept referring back and forth in friendly exchanges with journalists how much they had gone through together. Well, you know, if you sit down and actually mark off the events of this presidency, there, you know, there are very few hundred days, five weeks in World War II are more eventful than most of the international episodes. But you get the feeling, watching President Bush, that, in fact, a great deal did happen.
And there's a great deal to think about as he goes back to Crawford to contemplate what the next
exactly.
step is.
Exactly, and I think that that is a story, in fact, that has been largely hidden from public view that he can tell in a memoir. I think he has a great opportunity in that.
All right. Well, David Eisenhower, thanks so much for joining us. He's the director of the Institute for Public Service at the Annenberg School of Communication at the University of Pennsylvania, thinking about the Bush legacy.